Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Danita Applewhite, and I'm coming to you with lots of love and lots of peace. This is going to be a great show this morning. We have Beverly Johnson, supermodel, to speak with us today about the perceptions of beauty and disability. The Ask Dr. Applewhite radio talk show is brought to you by White Apple Institute. White Apple Institute is there to help students and veterans with disabilities to succeed at work, succeed at school. So we put it out there for you to join us in accepting the challenge to change the perception of disabled to differently abled. So to keep this radio show going and all of the services that we provide, we ask that you click on that donate button at White Apple Institute. That's www.whiteappleinstitute.org. And we also hope that you'll listen to the show and share this show, the knowledge that's going to come through from not only Beverly Johnson, but we have a number of other guests that will be joining us this morning. And we want you to stay tuned for our veterans, my fellow veterans that will be coming on towards the end of the show with their commentary on image and perceptions of beauty and disability. Now, we're not just talking about beauty this morning. We're talking about productivity, too, because remember that we are very, very focused on helping people to succeed at work and school. So, of course, the first thing that we want to make sure that we get out there is changing the image and perception. But what does disabled look like? We still have not defined that. I haven't even defined what normal looks like, have you? So today during the show, that's what I'd like you to think about, is when you think of the term disabled, do you picture in your mind a person who is productive, that is capable of working, going to school, having a family, living independently? And most of all, do you picture someone perceive someone as beautiful when you hear the word disabled. So what I'd like you to do is get deep into that this morning and really think about how you perceive that, because how you perceive disability and the term disabled is going to also
you have
determine
reached the maximum
how you
time
react.
Permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press
so
2. To erase and
moment,
re-record, press 3.
Give your time to our special guest.
Are you still there?
Beverly,
you have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Okay.
Are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
One moment,
to listen
please.
To your message,
Ms. Johnson,
press 2.
Are you there?
To erase and re-record, press 3. Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
Okay. Beverly Johnson, are you there? Okay. One moment. We're still trying to get Ms. Johnson on the line here. Okay. Here she is. Beverly Johnson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So sorry about those technical difficulties here. But I really, really am so happy that you wanted to join us today on the Ask Dr. Applewhite Radio Talk Show. And today, and I hope you heard that introduction that I was giving. Were you able to hear that?
Yes,
okay.
I did hear.
We want people to walk away from this show with really a better understanding of what the term disabled means. And I think that you can help us so much with not only your background as a supermodel, but also your background as someone who has been very compassionate about helping people with disability understand their beauty. And I just hug you and appreciate you for that. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about your background as, you know, I know you have a video out there that talks a little bit about your childhood and how you came up. But what really pushed you into looking at yourself and saying, okay, I'm a beautiful person and I can actually become this model?
Oh, that's very interesting. I, as a child, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. My father was a steel laborer, and my mother was a nurse. And
uh-huh.
I was an athlete, a swimmer. And basically, my whole life was about sports. And I didn't have any realization at the time growing up that I was pretty or could be a model. I wanted to be a political science major and a lawyer. I was spurred on by watching the civil rights movement on television in the 60s.
Really?
And,
okay. Yeah.
And this is how I got my sense of passion for the underdog, let's call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that time period. Because we're about the same age there, that time period was made quite an impact on many of us that were able to see ourselves as an instrument of change. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, because that's why I look at you. You have been an instrument of change. You have taken something, I'm just going to share something real personal that I felt when I reviewed your background and just looked at why is it that having Beverly Johnson on the show was so very, very important. And I'll tell you what it is. Because when I look at the image of what we've tried to do, the perception of what we've tried to change with people looking at those with disabilities, and employers changing their perception of how they interview and train and retain employees with disabilities. Looking at how educators, okay, treat students, and some of them deny accommodations because they're not clear on what disability looks like, okay? When I put all those things together as an educator, okay, I see that part of it, and then I saw another part of it that, my God, Beverly Johnson changed the perception of African-American women, okay, of African-Americans, period, of black people looking at themselves as beautiful.
Yes.
And that's what makes what you've done so special, because those two things, believe it or not, and I know some of my listeners out there are going to say, hey, what are you talking about? The Department of Labor actually puts black disabled women on the lowest level of employability.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
That's correct.
And you have been definitely an instrument of change in that. So thank you so much for being part of that. Tell us a little bit about what you feel is very important for us to remember, because we've got all types of listeners out there. We've got parents, we've got employers listening, educators, and thank goodness, Beverly, we have some people from Chase Bank, which is responsible for our meeting. They're on the line, too.
Well, wonderful. I feel that discrimination in any form is wrong. And mm-hmm. I'm the international spokesperson for the Global Down Syndrome Foundation mm-hmm. because I have a niece and I had a first cousin that had Down syndrome. And mm-hmm. just going through that experience with my sister, my younger sister, and how my niece was discriminated against, you know, getting into the school systems, and just on an everyday basis of looking at someone that is different from you,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And automatically thinking that they are less than you.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally go about my life and seeing the God in everyone. And,
oh, wow.
And also I think it's my responsibility to make sure that everyone is able to reach their full potential. Isn't that what life is about?
Yes.
Is that that we all reach our full potential, and that we – and that by doing that, we're helping one another to achieve that. And basically, that's how I live my life.
And it's unfortunate that when we're speaking like this, that most of the world, two-thirds, I would say, do not understand what you're even saying, what you and I are saying right now. Because when someone is born with any type of disability, like your niece or any of the 6,000 babies that are born every year with Down syndrome, and not even mentioning the millions born with any type of mental health disorder.
Yeah.
They are put into institutional settings, cast off from their families, okay? We, unfortunately, here in America, do not have the best system that, we have the best system I've seen in the world, okay? However, we're still not as effective as we wish to be. And that's why we still have these protests that not only black lives matter, but disabled lives matter.
Yes, exactly. And it's just amazing to me that, you know, people will listen to your program, and people that aren't disabled will listen to your program, and they find it difficult to feel that they can't help, that they can't do anything about it. But I think that it's just in one's everyday acts of kindness that can make just mm-hmm. a world of difference. In the way of being kind to someone in a wheelchair, or being assistant to someone and not ignoring them, as being human beings on the planet. You know, it's those kind of simple human kindnesses, besides, you know, all the legislation that we continue to need for disabled people. But it's those small, and being in a world where image is this whole idealized image of beauty that warps the minds of young kids coming up, because there's this standard set that they can't possibly achieve, or nor should they want to, of being either super thin or not feeling they're a part of if they don't look a certain way. You know, at my in my decade in the 70s was if you weren't blonde and blue eyed, you weren't part of the Madison Avenue sensibilities of beauty. And now it's, you know, if you're not, you know, 90 pounds and super thin, that, you know, so it's very, I always say that it's really important that we are very conscious of the images that we put out there, and that we become an inclusive society as be respectful of diversity, as opposed to just having one standard of beauty.
You know, when we talk about standards and norms, and you know, in the world of psychology, we set up norms. We understand that norms are based on what the society puts out there as what we call normal. And when the students are constantly asking, and this happened just recently, that a student stood up, very, very beautiful student in the audience. I was speaking at a college, and her outer beauty was just stunning, just like yours. And when she stood up, she said, "This is the first time publicly that I've ever admitted that I have a disability. That all my life I've had a speech impediment. It was difficult for me to speak. During my childhood years, I was teased and laughed at." And she said, I never wanted to really talk about it. And so you see, when you look at her, and one of the young men in the audience said, "My God, you don't look disabled." Okay, and so that led to the conversation of I don't know how many students were there, over 100 students, of what does disabled really look like?
Yes.
How can you really define it? It's not the wheelchair, because less than a third of the people that are disabled are not in wheelchairs or in walkers or smart things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I just felt this overwhelming question of what are we supposed to tell people? What are we supposed to tell our children, this millennial generation, of what disability looks like? What is normal?
Well, you know, I think that basically, you know, we're all children of God.
And, yes.
And we are all children of God, whether it's the, you know, the very elderly that are being shunned and mistreated, or all of the other disabilities. I think that, you know, we really have to respect each other as human beings, and, you know, and to look further, you know, at people's souls as opposed to some kind of exterior being or a being that is different. Sometimes I hear they're different than us, you know, not so much disabled, but, you know, different. And
you said
something
a moment ago. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. No. I was just saying that, you know, we always look for the differences, and we never look for what we all have in common. And, you know, we all have in common that we want to live a life of health and happiness and love for our friends and family. So we basically have so much more in common than we do being different from one another. That's
extremely,
all.
Extremely good point. And when you know what I like that you spoke about a moment ago is that image of God, you know, without any religious undertones or overtones, I think basically everyone can agree that there's something that's very special within all of us. That's a commonality that you just mentioned, okay? And if we ignore what this outer costume is, okay, because that's what we put so much emphasis in, don't you think, Beverly? We put so much emphasis on what we look like on the outside instead of being in touch with that inside. And I tell you, working with the most severely so-called disabled people in institutional settings, and I have still found that image of God. I have still found that exchange of love when you go beyond outer costume. Have you found that too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember as a model because, you know, as a model, and I started very young. I was 18 years old. You know, I was on my way to college and went to college for a year, and then it took this turn where this opportunity presented itself. I mean, someone said you made $75 an hour. My father didn't make $75 a week. So for me, it was something that I could not, you know, look a gift horse in the mouth and just turn my nose up at it. I thought that it was worth investigating. And so I did that. And I did that with the same passion that I would have done any job. I like to think that, you know, I researched it. I studied, you know, the designers, the photographers. I mean, because I didn't know what this whole big deal was about being a model. So I really invested myself in a way and into that career. And then there came a moment, because it's very all about the physical being, you know, the, you know, not eating and, you know, they're not, you know, that results in bulimia and anorexia. But everything became so exterior. And I literally found myself, you know, waking up one day and being emotionally stunted, meaning that I had grown as a woman, you know, and now I'm in my 20s, but emotionally and spiritually, I was still that of a 17, 18-year-old girl. And I realized that because of my friend, my best friend back home, who was in her 20s, who had a, you know, the house and the family and the job, and she's dealing with things, and I'm like, holy, you know, and I had to make a conscious effort to stop that. Now I'm looking on the inside of Beverly. I felt like I had a lot of catching up to do. And basically, I went on that journey. I went on that journey to find out about my roots, who I was, where I came from, my history, my parents, and also to reconnect with that spiritual side, which I've always had all my life, but ignored for many years, you know, chasing this quest of perfection.
You know, it's interesting when you use that word reconnecting, reconnecting with ourselves, because we have one of our board members, Nazim Rashid, wrote a book on reconnected, and it really helps us to understand. We use a lot of that in our curriculum to understand more about changing perception and image within ourselves. And that's the most important thing, I think. When I would like to hear from you about how we can change the perceptions of employers, of corporations, of educational institutions, to make it a more welcoming atmosphere. But before you answer that, I just want to make sure our listeners understand, too, that we cannot change anyone's perception. We say change, but what we're doing is encouraging them to change their own perceptions. Because we can't do anything. Even Dr. Martin Luther King said that you can have the laws, but you can't change the hearts. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so we have to work on changing the way we look at ourselves, okay?
Yes.
Because we don't look at ourselves as valuable. You use that word, the value. If we don't look at ourselves as beautiful, then we cannot expect anyone else to look at us that way. So that the first starts with us. And then secondly, we start to impact employers. So tell me for a moment, how, because I shared a story with you about a woman who had a daughter with Down syndrome, and the family was very supportive, and it sounds like you've been very supportive to your niece and other people. But when they go out in the real world, it changes because people don't look at them the same way. How do you deal with your niece?
Well, you try to, for instance, I try to, we're going to a conference, a Down syndrome conference in Arizona, and my niece is flying in, and I'm speaking at this conference. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important to be with people of like minds, mm-hmm. and like issues, so that one doesn't feel that they are all alone, because they're not. And so, and I think so that gives her a sense of, hey, you know, this, you know, I'm not alone. There are people that are dealing with this the same way I am, and look how they're managing, you know, and they, and so that they have their role models that they look up to. I think that's very important. And I think that on a personal basis, is one of the reasons why I really love The Voice, that television show, The Voice, so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the judges aren't able to see who's singing. So they cannot judge.
I didn't realize
them.
That.
They look. No, their backs are to the singer, to the contestant.
Ah,
and they can only turn around by what they hear. Not what they see, not how they're acting, not how they look, but what they hear. And it's really interesting when they turn around and they have this sense of discovery. And then that's what we all need to have, is a sense of discovery about ourselves and also about other people.
Yes.
And so I think that those are qualities that I think could help, is a sense of discovery and a sense of people being with people that are like them and how they are handling the challenges.
Well, one of the things I hope in the future is that what you're bringing to us today, in closure, because I know that you have an appointment this morning, and if you can stay on the line a little longer, that's great, because their switchboard is lit up and there's a lot of people that have many, many questions. But many of them, because I know you're going to come back and join us again, right?
Yes, I will. I would love to come back and join you. It's a fascinating conversation,
yes.
I must say.
Well, thank you for, this is what I want to say to you, is that what you've opened up for us is that association is very important. And that's what you're saying, is that, I think that's what White Apple Institute is all about, is that what we're trying to do is join with the organizations like the Global Down Syndrome Foundation and many, many others to bring more of a sense of I'm not alone, okay,
yeah.
That there are other people that are dealing with this. And even though we know, just like I was telling the students in this speech, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines disabled as one who cannot occupy employment, okay,
mm-hmm.
or survive an independent living. Isn't that something? It's right there in a dictionary. So I'm saying to them, you know, we can't go back and beat up Merriam-Webster. We can't go back and change the way that things have been as far as the way perceptions were developed. But we can change from right now, change within ourselves. And so what you've given us, too, is that we need to associate with each other. And hopefully this radio show and the other things that we're doing, and the things that you're doing, Beverly Johnson, out there, will help us to push that word out there.
Well, so thank you so much, Doctor. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. You're one of my heroes. You're doing God's work and making a difference, for sure.
Thank you so much, and thank you for making a difference, my dear sister. And we will speak soon. If you can just keep your phone on mute, all of these people that are calling right now, I will definitely send you their questions if you have to leave us, okay?
Yes,
Much love and peace.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We had some callers online this morning, and that was an exciting conversation with Beverly Johnson, and I'm just eager to hear the comments, the commentaries that are going to come back about what this wonderful, beautiful inside and out woman has said to us. So I'll take a caller that's been online for quite a while now. And, sir, hello. I'm looking at a 290 number.
Yes, I'm Jim.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
My name is Jim, and I'm a disabled American veteran. I served in Vietnam. And what I think today, the big problem is that people don't really understand what disability really is. Everybody, I think, is disabled in some way. And, you know, for example, I was watching an old lady the other day in the store, and I was amazed at how she conducted herself in a wheelchair. She was able to do her shopping and get along just great. But being a disabled person myself, I realize when I first wake up in the morning the challenges that I'm going to have doing the simple things in life. As far as I'm concerned, when I see a disabled person, I see one of God's truly beautiful people, because they have adapted to our society in such a way that they're able to get along. And they have the same wants and dislikes and likes that a normal person has, but they have the challenge of change. That's the reason why I always like the challenge of change, because in today's society, we have to be willing to change.
Well, one of the things that I'm really happy about that you said, sir, is that when you it seems like you've come to a point where you're looking at yourself first as someone who has to feel beautiful, to feel good. Okay, even though you have a disability yourself, and thank you for your service as far as Vietnam War, and we appreciate that. But what we're getting at today is what you just said, is that when we look at each other, whether the disability is physical or mental or non-visible, okay, because a lot of people don't have those crutches and wheelchairs, okay, is that you're appreciating their value. Thank you so much for calling in. Stay on the line, sir, because if there's any other questions or comments that you want to make, press that one key again, and I'll come back to you. We have another caller online. It looks like a 363 number. 602. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Apple. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. What do you want to ask?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I just want to say what a wonderful lady that spoke, Ms. Beverly Johnson. And I think it's so beautiful, some of the insights she has given us. And the most important thing, I guess, it seems to be that we have to develop this respect for our fellow human beings, no matter who they are. And it is true that in order to reach that level, we have to be more mature. We have to be mature ourselves. And so it's hard to expect this from young people, but this is where, you know, the idea of teaching and conveying the proper meaning for disabled is important, because we can start teaching the young people, the young kids.
Are you a teacher yourself?
Well, I right now I only do private teaching, but I did many years of teaching in classrooms.
Right.
And, yes. But I'm talking about the general teaching that we do as a society, you know, like parents, all of us can teach. But it's kind of difficult.
Thank you so much for bringing that out, for emphasizing there that we're all students and teachers, okay? And we all learn, and that makes us a student, no matter what severity or disability is at. Because I've never met a person without a disability, have you?
And that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
right. We just don't know. And it's invisible many times.
Right, it is. And most disabilities are, and I think that is one of the reasons why it's so important for us to understand what Beverly Johnson was saying this morning, and that we have to look at value, and we have to start feeling that we have to start understanding that we're not alone, okay? Now, I believe that there's a parent that wants to speak. She has her son with her, and she wants to speak this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and leave you for just a moment and go back, and I'll come back to you, ma'am, okay? All right? Hello, I have a 602-486. Is that Ms. Jackie?
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful. Hi, thank you so much. You had mentioned that you were going to call in this morning because you wanted to talk about, you were very excited about what we were doing with the show. And the perceptions of beauty and disability. And I hope that you had an opportunity to listen to what Beverly Johnson said this
morning.
Beverly,
oh, yes, I did. She was quite amazing, and she's so right about The Voice, because that's the only talent show on television that actually doesn't judge by looks. They judge by how they hear what comes out of a person from inside.
Wouldn't that be nice if we could all interact with each other by not looking at that outer costume, the way we look on the outside, and just
getting
in touch with what we feel? Because when somebody sings, you feel it, okay? So tell me something, Jackie. You have been involved, you told me, in the Special Olympics program because you have a son. And I want you to explain to the audience a little bit about how our conversation that we had and why you wanted to come on the show and talk about how you help your son to see himself, the image that he has. Okay, and if you can, is your son with you right now?
He is. Hold on. Let him say hi. Jason, say hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, what is your name?
Jason. Michael
Clark. Okay, Jason. Jason, it's great to have you on the show today. And if I hear that you're quite a hero with Special Olympics.
Yes.
Is that right? Wonderful. Well, what I'd like to do, we want to give you praise for what you're doing. We applaud you, and thank you so much for being on this show this morning. What I would like you and your mom to do is, and I'm going to have her speak first, and then I'm going to come back to you. I want her to explain how she helps you to see yourself as a very productive and valuable human being. Jackie, would you explain to us how you've done that, and maybe that'll inspire other parents?
Sure. I've had a son who's been ADD and mildly autistic all his life, and as he was growing up, he was looked down upon by so-called normal people, which I don't see normal people in this world anymore. And I have mentored my son through the years to think the best of himself and to focus on the good of himself and how he can excel because of his disabilities. He's not physically disabled. He has a mental problem. But the mental problem slows him down from getting a, you know, so-called normal job. And as we all know, once you say you're disabled and you apply for a job, they look at you in a strange manner. They don't look at you what your qualifications really can be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain businesses out there that do open up their doors for the disabled. And I applaud them because they help people like my son be able to get a job and feel good about himself and excel about himself as well.
Yes. But even if you have done everything that you can do, as we were talking about with Beverly Johnson, the parent that says, you know, I've done everything that I can do to help my daughter to know how beautiful she is inside and out. However, when she goes out in society, society sends her a different message. And helping her to overcome that is really the issue. And that's why I think it's so important. Obviously, you've done some great work with your son. And so what makes that difference? What are you doing and what have you done to help him to not, I guess, to fall apart?
To discourage about himself? I have showed him that there's a lot of good in this world for him to be thankful for and for himself to be thankful for, that he has somebody like me who can help mentor him along with other people like in Special Olympics to bring out the best in him. And so he doesn't get discouraged like a lot of people do that don't get the chances, who have young adults that the parents, they're sitting there tearing their hair out because they don't know what else to do because they're not thinking, you know, along the lines of that person in their family that has the disablement. And you
let me ask you this, okay? You've got some really good points there, but you know one thing I hear that you're constantly saying, and it kind of like piggybacks on what Beverly Johnson was talking about, like minds, being around people with like minds, associating with other people so that you know that you're not alone. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about what Special Olympics is all about. Tell our audience. And you know that White Apple Institute has been very, very supportive of Special Olympics for many, many years. However, having a parent on the show like yourself, and we hope that there are going to be other parents that are going to speak up, parents of adult children who are disabled, that they're going to understand that there's definitely possibilities, opportunities that can be had. So tell us a little bit about Special Olympics. Because we can go on talking forever. I just love talking to you about your
Special Olympics is because of Mrs. Kennedy. She's the one that founded Special Olympics many, many years ago because she has a daughter, a granddaughter that has disablement. And she wanted to find something that people of the world that are born with special needs or develop special needs can excel in. And Special Olympics, I think, is a lot more important than the Olympics itself, because these people, young and old, that are special needs in wheelchairs, mentally, physically, that has all the handicaps that wouldn't be allowed to be in normal sport activities, are given a chance to excel and focus and be noted by people who are so-called normal, that these people can do just as much and even better in getting their goals in the events that Special Olympics has for them all year round.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that to us. Now, we're going to have you come back on the show again and hopefully with some other parents to talk about what they're doing to help us change the perception and the image of what the term disabled really means. So I thank you so much for coming on this morning and saying that. Please stay on the line because I know that there's more commentary and questions that are going to be coming up even for you and what we spoke with, the things that we talked about with Beverly Johnson.
Beverly?
I'm going to open up the line to another person now. I believe this is our one of our co-producers. Is that Mitch Kapanis there on the line?
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful.
I'd like to tell you that I enjoyed the conversation you had with Beverly Johnson and Jackie. I just especially what hit me was the person that stood up in the lecture that you were doing, and she was very gorgeous and beautiful, and she expressed that she had a disability. And people looked and you don't look disabled. And I have always, like you and Beverly Johnson and Jackie were stating, my kids, the only person that they've known all their life has been disabled. From the time they were born, I've been disabled. So my sensitivity towards teaching them how to react to people who are different than them has been an education for me also. And I'd just
to
say that it's like the other lady was speaking, I think it's Maria, is that who it was?
Okay.
We have to, as a society, the only way that things change from, like you were saying about Beverly Johnson, she instituted a change in society on how they looked at beauty in America.
Because
she was the first black supermodel in Vogue and the one over in Europe. And she's accomplished a lot. And the perception was, when I was growing up, I grew up in the South, and the perception was if you were black, you were ugly, you know, as the way it was portrayed. We weren't on TV. We weren't in magazines. And she changed the perception. So moving forward, this is how we as a society have to start looking at people with disabilities or different abilities. It's because you could look at me and say, my friend's kids used to come over and say, oh, your father don't look disabled. And that was my opportunity to teach them, and they have in turn went out and taught others about disabilities. It's not what you look like. Because like what Jim was saying, we all have disabilities, whether it's learning disabilities, speech impediments. I like to say to people who call me disabled, I'd like to reverse it and call them disabled, because there's things that I can do that they can't do.
I love that.
I say, you know, I'm an artist. I'm a sculptor, and I'm legally blind. And as far as categorizing, I am one step from being in a wheelchair. So, but I don't look it. So I like to tell people, I'm an artist. Can you create a piece of art from an inanimate object? And they tell me no. And I tell them very poignantly, well, then you are creatively disabled. So I like to put the shoe on the other foot, other than to let people see that, well, you know, now look how disabled looks. Look at yourself and see how disabled look. We all have some limitation. We all have some impediment, but like the other lady was saying, it's not always seen. Sometimes it's invisible. And I look at my friends who are dealing with PTSD and post-traumatic stress syndrome, and
yes, you're
they don't
yourself.
Look.
That's what I'm,
correct. they don't look mm-hmm. disabled.
Right.
But you can't look at the, I look at the inner self of a person. I don't look okay. at the outer self. I was at the gas station yesterday, and I happened to see a gentleman with veteran plates on his car.
Mm-hmm.
I went over, I spoke with him, and I told him to call in to the radio show this morning because he and I share a kinship. Neither one of mm-hmm. us look disabled. We actually looked at each other and started laughing. And he says, you know what I'm thinking, right? I said, yeah, I know what you're thinking. I says, but you know what? This is great because we have to start looking at each other as what do you possess that is positive instead of looking at a person with Down syndrome. Because I've had people in my family with Down syndrome, and we did not exclude, we included them
Wonderful.
In everything we did. So I've grown
well,
up with...
Go ahead. Just close that up. Go
I've
ahead.
Grown up with people with all different types of disabilities. And
yep.
all I'm saying is, with society, the only way that society will change is we have to be the teachers. We have
yes.
to be students of life and not look at people as I'm better than you because I got this and I got that and I don't have this ability and you do. We have to look at everybody in a more positive sense, like Beverly Johnson was saying and as you were saying. We are mm-hmm. all children of God.
Yes, yes.
Made and it comes down to mutual respect.
Yes. Yeah. The bottom line, too, is that it was so interesting, the story that you gave us about the gas station and two people looking at each other, because we find so many times that people have that handicap parking sticker on their car and their license plate, and they get out of the car, and people look at them and say, you know, they don't look disabled. Why are they parking there? They don't know whether or not that person has any kind of heart problem or visual problem or hearing. They don't know what's going on with that individual. Everybody's got a story. And so I really appreciate you bringing that out, and hopefully we can increase the sensitivity in those areas. Another thing that I thought was real important is to talk for a moment about something that I teach in the self-rehabilitation program, and that is that everyone – that comes in with ability, some kind of ability. For every single cell in our body has an ability. However, when we look at ability and then we look at the dis that happens, the DIS, okay, the dis in our abilities means that there's one of our abilities or more that are not working on the same level as everything else. And it's just as simple as going down a highway and having to take a detour in life. When we have different abilities that we can express the way that we wish, one of the things that happens is that we have to take a detour. And that's what changing the perception of disabled to differently abled is all about. It's about being able to not only within ourselves take that detour and say, you know what, I don't have to see myself as everybody else sees me. I see myself as the way I wish to be, as an image of God. And then go out in the world and share that and influence, encourage other people to do the same. So thank you so much for bringing that out. I wanted to get back for a moment to our parent, Jackie, and see if she had anything else that she wanted to say. Jackie, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Do you see what
okay.
the saying? He basically reinforced what you were saying and gave a little bit more as a parent.
Well, I'd like to, in closing, say that since being born with a son that has disabilities, I have always looked at people in a different mannerism, and so has my own son. And
mm-hmm.
I tell my son, don't look at the outside. Talk to them. See how they feel from the inside. And when he's out doing, you know, Special Olympics especially,
of the track and field and whatever events he's doing, he cheers on the other teams just as much as he cheers on his own team members.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you know, one of the things I wanted you to bring out a little bit before you leave is that, you know, I'm very involved with parents who have autistic adult children. They, when I was in college, they would bring them in. There's a little noise in the background there. There's a little noise in the background on your phone there, Jackie, if you could.
Oh, I know, because I'm driving.
Okay.
I'm taking Jason to Special Olympics.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, what I wanted you to do, just elaborate a little bit on the factor that of how you're dealing with autism, okay?
Well,
you said, okay, go ahead.
Jason is mildly autistic. Thank goodness that he's not severely. His disablement is attention deficit disorder. But he does have a little bit of autism, and he tries to overcome these things by focusing on other things.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes that if he lets himself in his own mannerism go and let everybody else, you know, talk bad about him and you know, this way he looks at people like, well, if you're going to say this about me, that's fine because you'll see I do well.
Is that right? Is Jason there right now so we can say and let him close for us on our conversation? Is he right there?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Jason, I want to ask you a question.
Okay,
do you feel...
Go ahead.
Okay.
Do you feel what?
Okay. I don't know if we can hear you real well there.
We're kind of going in and out.
But Jason, that's okay. That's all right. We're going to go ahead and finish up. You're coming back on the show again at another time. You go ahead and get him over that Special Olympics. Get him over the Special Olympics and report back to us all the great things that are happening, and please share the word with those parents out there that there is a White Apple Institute is here to listen and share resources with them, and we appreciate you so much for taking the time to be on the show this morning. Much love and peace.
Well, we appreciate you having us, and we'd like to be on again, and under different circumstances, we'd like to, you know, talk more about whatever, if any other parents or people have questions, we'd love to try to be able to answer them for the people.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. All right, we have another caller online. We're going to move on here. We have another caller online, and we have a question. We have a question here. I have so many questions coming up on the chat line, by the way. I did not let people know that the chat line is open. Do I have a 200 number? It's 200. Hello? Oh, hello. There you are. Okay. Hi. Did you have a question, comment?
Yeah, I have a question.
About
go ahead. It's only 2 minutes that we have. I was going to ask you, why is there more attention on people with Down syndrome than cerebral palsy or mental illness?
Okay, let me see if I understand what you're saying. You're saying, I got it. You're saying, why are there more people, why is there such a more attention on Down syndrome than...
Right.
That's a valid question. That's a valid question, and I have to say, you know, I got to be down to earth with you. It's about money, okay? Depending on who's involved in what, if you go back, Jerry Lewis was involved with muscular dystrophy because his son had MD. You find that when the money comes in, that there's more attention to that particular disability. And we certainly wish, ma'am, that because we're dealing with Mental Health Awareness Month. This is May, okay? And NAMI, N-A-M-I, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, is putting on a number of events to help people understand more about mental health. But in saying all of that, there's millions that are affected by mental health disorders, okay? Where we're talking 6,000 a year for people with Down syndrome. So the numbers don't match. However, I do want to let you know that your question is good. Your question is good, but there is a reality. And the reality is that where there's more money, there's more emphasis. And so there's nothing we can do to change that, but can I give you this in closing with you? Can I give you this? That it's up to you to make it important, okay? It's up to the person who has, I think you mentioned cerebral palsy. It's up to them, up to that individual to say, I have value, okay? And I will do something to make change happen. And just by you making the call this morning to even ask that question, is a move in the direction of how we can change the perception of not only employers, but educators, our society as a whole. Does that help you a little bit?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want to say there?
No.
Okay. Well, you just hold on, and I hope that I answered your question with reality. You can always count on Dr. Applewhite to do that, okay? We thank you so much, all of the listeners and the people that have called into the switchboard this morning. We just ask that you continue to support us at whiteappleinstitute.org. Your donation is definitely needed to keep this radio broadcast going. We're a nonprofit organization. All of our staff is volunteer. There is no profit made. We just look at how we can get companies and educators, educational institutions out there to understand that we're here to help them make a more comfortable environment, a more culturally sensitive environment to those with non-visible and visible disabilities. So we ask that you spread the word out there. Go on your social media, Facebook, or whatever you have to go on, and spread the word and share this show, okay? Any questions about that, just go ahead and contact us at whiteappleinstitute.org. We're going to continue on with the show. We've got a lot of exciting stuff that's going to come up in a moment. We have a few guests that are going to come on as veterans and talk about what they're doing with their organization and their feelings about the perceptions of beauty and disability. We have one caller online here. Let's see. I'm sorry. Before we get to that. Hello. Is this Lenora? Lenora Arnold?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Lenora Arnold. The reason why I called on you right now is because I wanted you to talk. I know that you came on this morning and you wanted to share something with us about the legal aspect of disability. And we appreciate you very much. What did you want to share with us this morning before we get into our veteran conversation?
Well, I would like to share that this is the month of the Mental Awareness Act. And also and then within this mission, we're able to help people, to let them know that they're not alone and that there is a source to everything that we try to accomplish here. And this is what I'm here.
Now, you are helping us with the show. You volunteer to do a number of things with the show, and you have brought us into a really good relationship with the Epilepsy Foundation, I believe. Would you tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Epilepsy Foundation, what your feelings are about that the issues of epilepsy and how we can change the perception of how people feel about that? You know, I guess do you feel beautiful?
Well, being beautiful is something that's within the person. I do agree. And a lot of times people, they just look at the outside of a person and never think that they have an issue or a problem. But, you know, being out in the public like myself at all times, I do have an issue. But mm-hmm. no one could ever see it unless I had a seizure disorder of some sort mm-hmm. at the time or the moment. But they said, I would have never had thought that you have this problem. And I was just saying mm-hmm. with them, you know, with the epilepsy center here that I've been, you know, attending to, that we do have our lives to attend and mm-hmm. what we want to do. And what I have achieved through this problem is going to law school. I went to the legal school. I went through tons of different cases and things with people, but I would never let my disability tell me that I can't do anything.
Ha-ha. Wonderful, wonderful. However, you know that in the world, even in America, okay, but definitely in other parts of the world, to have epilepsy, one of the, we'll have to say the most misunderstood disability, one of the most misunderstood, is because it's many people associate it, unfortunately, with demonism they have to do, even right now, in 2015, believe it or not, there are people mm-hmm. Doing exorcisms because someone has a seizure disorder in different countries. This is the information I get in because I'm very involved in international disability issues. But you've overcome it. You've overcome the stereotype, it seems, of people look at you and you know that you can have a seizure. Okay, and I'm sure you've been doing your medication. Well, how do you do that? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I also every day, of course, I go through my prayers and things, but also asking God to be with me, to protect me, to help me mm-hmm. as I move mm-hmm. on with this life that I have. Of course, mm-hmm. this beautiful life that He has given to me. I mean, a lot of people think, "Oh, how beautiful is that?" Because you have a health issue. Well, the health issue is not the only thing in your life. Mm-hmm. And God opened your eyes to see that you have positive things in your life that you can attend to, and these positive things is what's to make you stronger in your to deal with your disability.
However, there was a time, and I remember that in our conversations, and I'm hoping that other people listening to the show, especially some of the corporations and institutional settings out there, will listen to what you're saying. There was a time when you were reluctant to even talk about a seizure disorder because of the stereotype that was out there. And how did I can say, well, how did White Apple Institute help you? But how did you come about changing your perception?
Well, I came about a change in my perception to let myself know that I am capable of doing something. And what I'm capable mm-hmm. in life of doing, I love reading and I love law. And I went to law school, and I just caught my attention right there. You know, and I stuck with that to work with it with the best that I have, you know, at dealing mm-hmm. with it. And went to a Cooley Law School there in Michigan and mm-hmm. achieved that goal. And from that goal, set another goal to standard, you know, to achieve. And so by me doing that in a positive way and seeing that I'm capable, is to move on and to help someone else also to see that they can achieve that goal.
So in closing, Lenora, what would you tell an individual listening right now who is in the workforce and trying to go to school at the same time and with a family, and they have a seizure mm-hmm. disorder, and they're ready to drop out? They're ready to just say, forget it, because they've had so many seizures on the job that the employer is even concerned about them. What kind of inspiration can we give them?
Well, we do have our ups and downs, and our one thing is that when you do see a down thing on a person, is to not discredit them from everything that they're trying to achieve. That if we are to continue at what we do, even though we do face these things on time to time, on a daily basis, you know, when we go out there, you know, that people, you know, you may be belittled, be down. You know, when a person in law seeing me have a seizure, you know, and they didn't want to really talk that much anymore. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were afraid. They were
mm-hmm.
afraid. And by them being afraid to let them know, I just, you know, tell them, just an individual just like anyone else who probably would have a heart attack, you know, or a person
mm-hmm.
that will, you know, have some other type of disability or health problem, health issue. But I can't sit up there and ask them out of everything.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, okay? And I can't express enough the positive image that you display for, as if you will, going out into the world and being able to openly discuss seizure disorders and how
mm-hmm.
we, and the fact that you look at yourself as a beautiful person, and you certainly are, okay? As
oh,
Carol
thank you.
Seen, you are beautiful in so many ways. Thank you for being part of the show. This also is the celebration of Americans with Disabilities Act. I know you've been working on some things. You've reached you've got your paralegal certifications, and you've been helping some of our students with understanding the laws.
Yes,
that's a very important thing. Thank you so much for that. Anything you want to add about the Americans with Disabilities Act?
Well, yeah, the thing is to stay strong and keep forward, keep moving forward.
We certainly have done that, okay? We certainly have done that.
Mm-hmm.
We're continuing to change the laws, okay? And that's great. We've changed the legislation. However, changing the hearts, changing the perceptions is going to have to start with us, changing the image so that when a person is faced with, okay, the label of disabled, that they learn to turn that around, change their own personal perception of disabled to differently abled, and that they're able to go out into the world, associate with others, as Beverly Johnson was bringing out, and make change happen there. But let us not forget that whatever laws there are, as Martin Luther King has said to us, Dr. Martin Luther King said, you can have the laws on the books, but changing the hearts is a whole different story. So let's continue, and thank you for your work of continuing the effort to change hearts, change perceptions, and change images. So without further ado, we're going to get into our vet-to-vet portion of the show. We have some guests that may be showing up, some announcements we want to make. Mitch Cavanis, our veteran co-producer of the Vet-to-Vet Talk, are you there?
Hello?
Hi there. Mitch.
Yes.
You
yes,
have
this is
some great things you want to share today.
Yes, I'd like to just give this opportunity for everyone. If you would grab a pen and paper, this is your opportunity to get down some information that might be applicable to you. Today is the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day for those.
Yes. Yes,
and I think
yes.
there is a there's an event happening at Wesley Bowling Plaza, downtown Phoenix. And if you are throughout the United States, if you
mm-hmm.
check on your computer for Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day, they will give you an address to where you can go and be a part of this event, because the Vietnam veterans were not welcome back, like the Iraqi and the Afghani vets. So for those who'd like to participate, please do, because we Vietnam vets can use a pat on the back and a welcome home. And
yeah.
I also have, I think there's a guest that's waiting,
mm-hmm.
602-904.
Okay.
Are you still there?
I don't have the 904 here on the line. So possibly they'll call back in, okay? However, I did want to elaborate a little bit on some of the people that you've been meeting in the last week. One of them, I understand, has been a woman veteran who has experienced homelessness, and she has also a disability. And she has shared some things with you about how she feels about her image, about being not only beautiful but productive, okay? And being that I believe she was an Afghanistan vet, if I'm not mistaken, and she came to you and she had a story to tell. Just elaborate a little bit, if you would, on that.
Well, she as you had mentioned, she had her difficulties when she got back here in the United States, when she got back what mm-hmm. we call back into the world, back into society. But she has changed her whole perception around her whole persona about how she feels about herself and how she feels about people with disabilities, period, and has moved on productively. And mm-hmm. I think she was on, but she had some other issues that she had to deal with. Yeah,
right.
She had some uh-huh. other commitments, so she had to go ahead and drop off the call line.
Well, hopefully she will come back on the show again.
I also hope he's online this morning. A gentleman from Vets for Vets.
Mm-hmm.
He has a shop downtown, and what his story is that they collect all clothing and furniture and household appliances, pots and pans, whatever, for vets who are struggling to get back into society and to get back on their feet, whether they're homeless mm-hmm. or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought something out to me that I really did not know. A lot
mm-hmm.
of these institutions that we see around that has veterans on their mantra,
mm-hmm.
they are not really for veterans. So we have to be cognizant. We
mm-hmm.
have to be cognizant, and that's why I say get your pen and paper and write this down, Vets for Vets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to give to something that's going to help a veteran right then and right there. If you got some clothing, if you have some furniture, a refrigerator, a dresser, an old TV,
mm-hmm.
whatever you
okay.
have, they'll come pick it up. And you can use it as a tax write-off also. But you could be, the statement that I want to make is, you can guarantee that what you give is going to a veteran and not to a thrift store where the thrift store is making money and not giving to the veteran.
Well, I think that's a common thing that's going on right now. Everyone, but a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon for veteran benefits and veteran events. And we appreciate the recognition. However, as a woman vet myself, I have to say that I really encourage people to really look at the organization. Just because someone says that we help veterans, really look and see if that's what they're really doing. So we encourage you, and I know Mitch is very, very emphatic about this, to go to our website, and you'll see Mitch's information there too and meet us. And you can connect with us and talk about veterans' benefits and how we can help you connect with resources. And most importantly, in line with today's show, Mitch, we have a definite issue, you know, with suicide. We have over 22 suicides a day going on with our veterans, you know, and our brothers and sisters are truly hurting behind their crisis in their life and the factor that they don't feel productive and beautiful. And so I hope that there's something that we have said in this show today that will encourage them not only to connect with us at White Apple Institute, but also to connect with the Veterans Crisis Line. And that is at 1-800-273-8255. And I just can't say that enough to push that out there. I know you agree with me. Is that correct?
Yes, and I'd also like to just reiterate the fact that we were talking about how to change the perception of differently able. I personally
mm-hmm.
get up every morning and I look in the mirror after I've said my prayers and give my thanks to God. I tell myself how good looking I am. Because if you don't think you're good looking,
all right.
nobody else is going to think you're good looking. And along with that, you got to give yourself an extra injection of self-esteem to let people, to let yourself know that you are worth every drop of blood, energy, and intuition, whatever it takes. You are worth it. You are somebody. And you can't go around accepting everybody's opinion of you. You have to have a positive opinion of yourself. And that comes from within. And that's what I was trying to get across a little while ago, is when I was saying this positive energy, this positive image that I have of myself. I taught my kids about disability. I taught my kids' friends how to accept people with disabilities, how to enjoy someone and be around them and not have to feel like you're walking on eggshells, because you don't want to feel like, oh, I'm hurting someone's feelings. We who are differently able, we have a tough skin. So I just wanted to bring that out and let everyone know that it starts from within.
Yes, it does.
That's where it starts.
Yes, it does.
And then
that's,
you can,
that's the whole key.
We as students of the world and teachers of the universe, we can then pass this on to others, because my kids, they pass it on to all of their friends, and their friends pass it on to all their friends, because they know that one way or another they're going to come in contact with me, and this way they're more comfortable as soon as they meet me, because one, I have that self-image of myself.
Okay. That is very, very important. And that, and I think that that's, if anything, anyone from the corporate America that listens to the show, from the institutional settings that are out there, that because I have so many students, Mitch, and our listeners out there, that come to me and talk about the fact that when they go and ask for accommodations, accommodations to help them do their job better, to perform better at school and at work, that people look at them and say, you don't look disabled, okay? And that is something that we really have to focus on, is that who defines what disabled looks like, okay? And at the beginning of the show, that's what we talked about. What is normal? Okay, there is no definition truly of normal, except the fact that we define it within our own communities, within our own societies, okay? That there's not one set definition for normal, and there's not one set definition for disabled. If our listeners leave with that concept and go out and help other people, especially employers and educators, because that's what we're all about at White Apple Institute. We're vocational rehabilitation based. And so we want to get people to recognize their value and worth in the work world. So thank you so much for being a big part of that, Mitch, with being legally blind and so many other issues that you're dealing with in your body, that you've been able to look in the mirror and say how handsome you are. And to understand, I believe it was someone else that talked about the same thing, and I was mentioning taking that detour. You know what I mean, Mitch? Taking that detour and saying, okay, I might not be able to get to point A and B like everybody else, but I can still get from point A to B. I just have to take a little detour here, okay? And I'm still going to get there, even if I move slower, even if I think slower. That maybe that's a blessing to me.
Well, I'd just like I'd just like to summarize my part of the show by saying when I go to the VA hospital, this might sound a little weird to a lot of people, but I feel I'm in my element. I feel more comfortable there than probably anywhere else that I go, because I know everybody in there. You're not there unless you have a problem. And unless you have some type of
different ability. And I've met so many people at the Carl Hayden VA hospital, and we just sit and conversate with each other. And I've run into a lot of the Iraqi and Vietnam vets and Afghan vets and who have post-traumatic stress. And as you were saying, they don't look the part. But we can we can look at each other and know what the problem is because of our kinship, our connection, our brotherhood. And that's the way I feel that we all as a society should, as I stated before, come together and look at each other as we're all in the same boat. Whether I like what I heard someone say once before on the show. Whether you are differently able now, eventually you will be. This is something you can look forward to.
Yeah, that's one of the things we can't escape is disability and death, is it? Okay?
Right. It's going to happen to you one way or another. And I'd just like to tell all the vets and all of the differently able people who are not vets, it is not a curse. This is what I call a challenge that will only give you the opportunity to succeed in an area where you haven't been before.
Well, we have that 904 caller online. Let's see if we can, we're almost at the close of the show here, but we're going to see if we can get a few moments. Hello. Hi, 904.
Hi,
hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Morning.
Hi. If you wish, you can say your name. I just appreciate you calling in this morning. We lost
sure, my name is Zenny.
Zenny, yeah. Thank you very much, Zenny. And you are a woman veteran, I understand.
Yes.
Okay, just like myself, we're your Army also.
Yes.
Yes. And I wanted to know something before, because our time is very short here, and I know that you had promised to be on the show today, and I know we had some technical difficulties, but we're going to have you come back on again. But what we talked about today, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen in about the perceptions of beauty and disability, but one of the things that women veterans as a whole, we definitely need to encourage other women veterans to do is to be able to look at ourselves in that mirror and be able to see a beautiful human being no matter what level of disability that we're at. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And the lady you had on earlier today touched on having more of an inclusive attitude, and I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Anything that you'd like to share as far as your own disability and how you can help other people to look at themselves and change their perception as we come to a close?
Well, I believe that we all can be our own teacher, and I think that if you at least recognize that you need to be your own teacher, then you can proceed in doing that. But oftentimes, it's in the beginning, it's difficult to recognize.
Would you elaborate a little bit more on how you've been able to overcome and go forward in your life?
Absolutely. I guess one of the, just like when I was communicating with Mitchell and he wanted to give me information over the phone, I had to text him and tell him that if I write it down on paper, I'm going to lose it. And sure enough, you know, I had written it down, but I lost the paper. So I have to recognize my blind spots. And thankfully, Mitchell had texted me the information. So that's a prime example of just understanding your own blind spots.
Yeah, and the detours that you have to make in this life. We thank you so much, Zenny, for coming on the show this morning. We need to hear more from you. We know you have a lot to share. We wish much love and peace to all of our listeners out there. And thank you, Chase Bank, for introducing Beverly Johnson to White Apple Institute and helping us, joining us in the challenge to change the perception of disabled to differently abled. So without further ado, we close our show this morning with just a short meditation of saying thank you so much with Wes Ricks, another veteran who has brought us some beautiful music just to close with. I thank you for helping us to influence others to change their perceptions.